Great, thank you. I appreciate the invitation to speak, and I'll round out the session with some laparoscopy and trauma, which is, those are two things I love. I have no relevant disclosures. So to put pediatric trauma in context, one in five children will be injured each year, so about 14 million kids are injured. 25% of all trauma patients across the board are going to be pediatric. They visit the emergency department about 9 million times for an injury diagnosis. About 250,000 kids will get admitted to hospitals with an injury diagnosis, and about 17,000 kids will die because of an injury. So whether you find yourself in a rural setting or urban setting, whether you're at a trauma center or a non-trauma center, it's likely that your hospital and probably you will be exposed to pediatric trauma injured kids. I suspect the fact that you're here today, you're dealing with kids, seeing kids, and they're part of your practice in some way. And so I think you'll come across some pediatric trauma along the way. And so what I hope to do is show you that laparoscopy may be a useful tool for assessing children that are injured. And it's by no means a new concept. So this is from the Memphis group, and it's back more than 20 years ago. And they reported some of their early experience with the use of laparoscopy. And this is 8 patients. They had a mix of both blunt and penetrating trauma. And most of them underwent laparoscopy. There were a couple cases where they also did thoracoscopy. And they were able to manage these patients with laparoscopy, including some bowel perforations, gallbladder perforations, and also find several patients with no injuries. And that is often a good use for laparoscopy, is trying to find the patient that actually doesn't have anything of significance with a laparoscope rather than an open laparotomy. Same institution in Memphis followed up with a report about 10 years later. This is a little bit kind of a next step, and they were using laparoscopy to repair bowel injuries in the kids. And you can see from their data, still the majority of the patients underwent a laparotomy for bowel injury, but now they have about a quarter of their patients that had a laparoscopic intervention, whether initially or completely. The majority of their patients, where they started laparoscopically, they could finish laparoscopically. And the other things to note, that the time to operation is about 12 to 18 hours. So these aren't acutely the fresh patient, the one coming from the trauma bay. This is the patient that's probably been admitted. They may have some other concomitant injury, a liver laceration, and maybe a bowel injury, you're not quite sure. And over the course of their hospitalization, they evolve. And so now you need to answer the question whether there's something else going on. And so that's why these cases are now 12 to 18 hours into it. What they also noted was that the operative time's a little bit longer. So if expediency is important, you need to get in, get out, a very sick kid, then laparoscopy is probably not the right tool to use. It takes a little bit longer. But when they could do it successfully, it shortened the time to diet, it shortened the time to discharge, and they had no reported complications. So it can be quite useful. You can do some of the higher end stuff, and this is now 10 to 15 years old, this data, so we're sort of pushing the envelope more. And this is data from our institution, and when we looked at back at the abdominal operations that we had, 120 or so abdominal explorations, about a third of those patients were done laparoscopically. When we dig a little deeper on those, the most common patient that underwent laparoscopy had a negative laparoscopy. And again, that's not a bad thing. That's, in many of the cases, the intended outcome is to prove that they did or didn't have peritoneal violation, did or didn't have a bowel injury in the setting of free fluid. And so about a third of the time we could do that, and it's considered negative. There are also some negative, or rather non-therapeutic, laparoscopies. And that's the case where you do have free fluid, you go in and there's an injury to the mesentery that's not bleeding anymore, so it doesn't need any particular intervention. And so about half of the kids had negative or non-therapeutic laparotomy, but that's over half of the kids that potentially in a different day and age would have undergone a negative lap with a likely a higher morbidity, almost certainly a longer hospital stay. And then if we look further down, about a quarter of them had therapeutic laparoscopies, and those may be things like repairing some perforations or controlling bleeding. And then about 20% had a conversion to laparotomy. And that's more significant injury. It may be user discomfort with what they were seeing and their abilities to move forward. And so I think it can be used quite successfully. And these are the cases. If you look here, the negative laparoscopies, that's pretty obvious. Some of the non-therapeutic ones, there were some mesenteric hematomas that didn't need any injury. A hematoma, preperitoneal hematoma, didn't need it. And then when we look at some of the therapeutic applications, repairing epigastric artery laceration, some bowel injuries, a diaphragm injury, and the like. And then the ones requiring conversion, the most common were going to be a bowel perforation or significant mesenteric injury with some devitalization, and something that would be a little bit harder to do easily with laparoscopy. And then moving beyond a single institution, this is now a multi-center review, and these were patients that were contributed by several centers, and they had a total of 200 patients. We don't know the denominator to know what percentage of the overall population they treated laparoscopically, but in their 200 patients that they did minimally invasive surgery, now they've included thoracoscopy, 64% completed it minimally invasively. They had to convert to open in about a third or 36%. When you look at the laparoscopic population, the majority were diagnostic, and that's why they were completed successfully. If you look at the group that converted, the majority were therapeutic, and so they were converting to do some additional therapy, whether it's a bowel resection or something else. And then we started looking at the bigger picture of data from the National Trauma Data Bank, and this was a five-year window. There are about 5 million patient encounters in the NTDB, and we focused on the kids that were 14 and younger, and there are about 450,000 of those kids. And then when you look at those that had an operation within 48 hours, we excluded those that were older than that because they're probably getting G-tubes or some follow-up rather than an acute evaluation of the trauma. And so there were about 4,500 encounters. About 1% of these pediatric patients that are coming in ultimately need some sort of laparotomy or laparoscopy. And so the vast majority did get laparotomy, but it's about 8% that in the U.S. that are getting laparoscopy for their initial assessment of the abdomen. And about 20% of those patients are converted to open. So it is here. It is being utilized fairly frequently in the pediatric population. So about 20% of laparotomies for trauma start as laparoscopy. So it's pretty common. And then it's going to depend on the institution and the skills. So if we look at some of the potential benefits, the bowel remains in the abdomen, so there's probably less fluid and temperature concerns, and so that may be a good thing. Again, this may not be your sick, acutely injured patient, but somebody that's proven themselves to be a little more stable. You've also probably had a chance to resuscitate them, to warm them up, and to get them in a good position for laparotomy. So again, this is a selected group of patients. This isn't for all. They probably will have less pain if they have laparoscopy incisions rather than a laparotomy. They may have less risk for an ileus. And then you're probably doing fewer negative laparotomies, so you're sparing them incision. One of the other benefits of laparoscopy is being able to identify where the injury is, and that may allow you to use a more directed incision. And so you've made an enormous midline laparotomy from stem to stern for a small intestinal perforation, which could have been managed much more easily with a limited incision. So those are the kind of things that even in a setting of a negative laparoscopy or a conversion may be quite useful. Obviously, it's not for everybody. It's not appropriate for unstable patients. So this just isn't going to give you the speed that you need to take care of. Typically, bleeding would be the most common thing that's going to get you in trouble quickly. So it's not for that patient. Generally, it's going to be a longer operative time. If you're doing something, repairing something, a bowel perforation, it's going to be a longer operative time, even if you convert. It'll probably be a much lower, shorter time if you're doing something simply for diagnostic purposes, and you're in and out in 15 minutes for putting a little 5-millimeter trocar on the belly button and proving that there's no peritoneal violation or there's free fluid, but the rest of the bowel looks okay. So in that case, it may be quicker. You may have a higher leak rate if you can't, if your skills aren't as good laparoscopically, or if the bowel, you've misinterpreted how significant an injury is to the bowel and in your repair, so there may be a higher leak rate. And also, depending on your institution, you may not have the appropriate institution for smaller kids. You may not have the personnel, depending on the time of day. It may be the night shift. We all like to think we're full 24/7, 365, but everybody knows it's a little bit different at night. Nurses may not be used to doing laparoscopy. It may be difficult to get equipment. So all of those factors may impact the decision at times to take somebody and do laparoscopy over laparotomy. And there may be a potential for a higher potential for missed injury depending on your ability to run the bowel and assess. Although others that use laparoscopy a lot would say that you can actually get a much better look, closer look, and you can sometimes get to look at places that are difficult to see open. The other thing I'll mention now is that, actually I won't, I'll mention in a minute. So I'm going to run through a couple cases. This was a kid that was brought to us. He was a 10-year-old who was at summer camp, and he fell on the holder for arrows for archery. It wasn't an arrow, although it certainly looked like one, but it was somehow holding the arrows. He fell on it. It's protruding through the abdomen. The EMTs cut most of it away right off the tip and then put this rather unusual dressing on it to get him to us. And then this was an x-ray that was done in the trauma bay, and it looks like it may be extraperitoneal based on its trajectory. And so we elected to take him to the operating room and put a scope in to see if it went in the peritoneum. And then we also figured out that, you know, his vital signs were stable, he looked well, but he was pretty freaked out, not surprisingly. So we didn't think that he'd be a great candidate just to pluck it out in the emergency room. So he went upstairs to the operating room. This is a couple other views. And so you can see it sort of heads tangentially and up and out. And so it was pulled out. He was prepped and draped rapidly. Then we put a 5-millimeter trocar in at his belly button, and there was nothing in the abdomen, and no blood and no violation. And so we closed two holes, and he fed and went home the next day. This is a 12-year-old young man who was restrained, and I put restrained kind of in quotation marks. You can see he's got a pretty prominent lap belt mark, which is much higher, should be down on the pelvis, and the shoulder harness is across his neck. He had stable vital signs initially, but he had pretty focal abdominal pain, which is not hard to believe when you see the bruising, the amount of bruising across his abdominal wall. So his exam was pretty unreliable. And then he had a CT scan which showed a little bit of free fluid in the pelvis. And so now we have an exam which is difficult to interpret. Clearly he's uncomfortable. Clearly he's got a reason to be uncomfortable with this bruise, and then some free fluid. And so he was taken to the operating room and had several ports placed to evaluate the bowel, run the bowel. The free fluid was a trivial amount of blood. And then this is a contusion on the bowel wall. And then you can see there was one area where there was a serosal tear with no leak, so we could milk contents through here easily and felt the bowel was actually healthy enough. And so he had a non-therapeutic laparotomy. So he had an injury, but didn't need any intervention and was able to go home the next day. This is another lap belt, a 10-year-old in a head-on collision as well. And you can see this lap belt is horribly inappropriately positioned. And so he had tenderness in his upper abdomen and stable vital signs. And so he got a CT scan of his abdomen, and there was concern about a sliver of free air. And then you can also see he's got a pretty significant liver laceration. And so now we have somebody who, if you go and do a formal laparotomy, open him wide up, he's got a bad liver laceration. You really don't want to stir that up if at all possible. So there wasn't much in the way of free fluid, so this was a contained process at the time, and so we didn't want to convert that into something much more significant. So because of his stability, we put laparoscope in and took a look, and he had a perforation of his duodenum. So again, this is undoubtedly from that lap belt that came across. He also had a chance fracture. And so his was repaired primarily in the operating room, and he did well as well. And we did nothing with the liver. And this is a 9-year-old who's riding his bicycle and flipped over the handlebars, and he's got the classic end of the handlebar mark down here on the left lower quadrant, just above his pelvis. And he presented with stable vital signs. He had very focal left lower quadrant pain with rebound. He had a CT scan, and the scan demonstrated some fluid in the area as well as some thickening of the tissues all down in the left lower quadrant. So it's pretty suspicious for an injury, but because he was stable, he was taken to the operating room for planned laparoscopy. And so this is looking down into the left lower quadrant. You can see some colon here, and he's got some feculent staining of the bowel. A little closer inspection, and you can see that there's a focal perforation in the sigmoid colon. But no other injury was identified when the bowel was run. And so this was, again, repaired primarily. You can see that's the end result. And that's all that was done. And he did well. And then this is thoracoscopic use. This was a kid who had three gunshot wounds to his chest. He had his initial chest x-ray, he had a white out on that left side, had a chest tube placed, which drained a couple hundred cc's of blood. Remarkably, he was hemodynamically stable. There was concern about the trajectory of the lowest bullet, and so he underwent CT scan to evaluate it. And it's a little hard to follow just in individual clips, but you can see on his left lower back, there's a little bit of dusting. You can see some atelectasis. On this view, you see perhaps an injury to the spleen here and here. Again, here's some metallic foreign body. And so the trajectory looked as if it went tangentially across and through the spleen. And the concern with this patient was whether it injured the diaphragm. And if it injured the diaphragm, does it really matter? That's another separate discussion. We did worry about an injury to the diaphragm, and for that reason, he was taken to the operating room electively, had a scope put in his left chest, and there was indeed a hole in his diaphragm, moderate amount of blood, and then this is a contused lung from the other gunshot wounds. And so he had a simple suture repair of diaphragmatic laceration and did not go into the belly. Operatively, we did not go into the belly. The bullet traversed the spleen, and we felt we could leave that alone. So to summarize, some of the common indications for laparoscopy: unexplained free fluid, so they've potentially got abdominal trauma. You don't know a source. You don't know if it's physiologic free fluid from a resuscitation, perhaps. You don't know whether it's blood, and so you need to try to figure that out. Free fluid with a solid organ injury, but they have pain, so it's common to get a little bleeding from a solid organ injury, but you've got some peritonitis or concern that it's not just a solid organ injury. When you need to assess peritoneal violation, so they may have a gunshot wound, stab wound, they look well, but you don't know whether this truly went into the peritoneal cavity, or perhaps it did, but they look well, so you want to at least scope and figure things out. It's also nice to assess the diaphragm. And again, it's also good, I think, to help plan a laparotomy. So if you're not quite sure if you need to be there, it can help. If you get there and figure out there's much more to it than need be, it may help you plan a better operation. So I would say kids are just small adults, so that's sort of the mantra as always, kids aren't, but actually for the most part, they really kind of are. So things you can do in an adult, you can probably do in a kid. If you're comfortable doing some of this higher end laparoscopy in an adult, if you have the equipment, then you can probably do it in the kids as well. I think the kids are pretty robust for the most part. They don't bring comorbid disease to the table. So, you know, I think we really have the luxury in the peds world of a patient that can tolerate a fair amount. They do have their edge, so you can push them over the edge. But so I think laparoscopy is useful in selected patients, selected being the key word. That's typically going to be somebody who's stable, so they're hemodynamically they're stable. You're not the patient you're giving unit after unit of blood. And in selected circumstances, and those circumstances may be the individual surgeon, their level of comfort operating on kids to begin with, doing laparoscopy in kids, the resources. You know, if you put a scope in and find something, are you going to take it to the next stage and do the laparotomy? So if you're not comfortable in doing that part of it, then probably wouldn't do the front end of it either. This may speed recovery and probably does limit unnecessary laparotomies. And as I showed and some of the studies showed, you can take it beyond just the abdomen. It's good for doing some of the assessments in the chest as well. And that is all I have.